Well, good morning, everyone. For you first-timers here at Fort Wilderness, I want you to know that there is something better than your first week at Fort Wilderness, and that would be your second week at Fort Wilderness. Because I remember our time years ago, almost 40 years ago, we came up as a family, brought up here by some friends who told us about this great place up in the Northwoods. We couldn't believe that it was going to be as great as they said it was. But as we came up here, we had such an incredible time as a family during that first week that we could not wait to come up the next year. As a matter of fact, we started numbering the toilet paper roll sheets backwards so the kids would know how many more days it was until we went for Fort. I think we started 30 days out, you know, and ripped those tabs off, and we got down to 3 days. We couldn't wait any longer. We called. Sioux Cabin was open, so we came up 3 days earlier. And we spent 10 days here the second year. We booked two family camps back-to-back the third year, so we were here for 2 weeks. The year after that, we came and spent like 2 months up here and volunteered and served on staff. And then the next year, we spent the entire summer up here, 13 weeks in a little fold-out pop-up camper with the four of us in there. And it was quite an experience. But I tell you, it was so incredible because the re-entry into the world was significant. We had spent a whole summer up here without television, without advertising, in a Christian environment where we were encouraging one another. And when we stepped back into the world, we realized that we had been changed. And so the next year, June 19th, 1979, I believe it was, we bought a house and moved up here. Served on staff here for some 5 years, started the work-study mission program because God had done a work in our life and had changed us. We were able to let go of the things of this world and take a hold of the things that He wanted to give us. Well, this morning I looked in 1 John chapter 2, I believe it's verse 15, and John tells us that we are to not love the world, not love the things of the world, because the more we try to possess the things of the world, the more those things will possess us. The more we are occupied in gaining things for ourselves, the more we are sold into the bondage, if you will, of those things that we want to possess. Now, I was also reading in 2 Corinthians. Let's start with Hebrews. In Hebrews verse 5 of chapter 13, and it reads this way, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, the things of the world, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you,' so that we can confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid.'" The Lord is our helper, and He desires to be sufficient for you. That you are not looking to the things of this world to provide you with security. You are not looking for the things of this world to be your satisfaction. For the Lord is near to us, and He desires to be our satisfaction. And then I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11, and Paul writes these words for us. "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and of going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. For I can do all things through Him, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who strengthens me and provides for me and satisfies me and secures me. Paul had learned the secret of contentment. I wonder this morning if you, as an individual, or you as a family, have learned the secret of contentment. Thinking about how I can teach what this secret is all about. So, since I teach with stories, I'll teach you this morning what contentment is all about with a story. Be okay? See, when I was a little boy, a real little boy, maybe 4 or 5, my dad gave me a knife. My dad gave me this knife. I've still got it. It's got 2 blades, small blade and a larger blade. And you can tell that this knife has been well worn. This knife has been well used. And I can remember as a little boy, I was so proud that my dad had trusted me. Little though I was, he had trusted me with a knife. I carried this knife just about everywhere I went. I could feel it in my pocket. It was a reminder that I was no longer a little boy because I was a boy with a knife. I would get it out and I would show it to the other boys, especially those who didn't have a knife. And you know, the truth is that this knife would have probably done just about anything that I have ever done with a knife in my entire life. And this knife right here could have been sufficient for everything I ever needed. But friends, I fell into the trap of discontent. Because one day I was in a hardware store. And this hardware store had this shiny display case, and there were lights shining down on the things in this display case, and I saw another knife. I saw a knife that had not one, not two, but 3 blades. It had brass bolsters on it, and it was bright and it was shiny. So I went to my dad, and I said to my dad, "Dad, you got me this knife, and I'm really thankful for this knife, but I found another knife. Would you get it for me?" And he looked at me, and he said, "No." And then he spoke words that I'll never forget. He said, "Larry, if you're not content with what you have, you won't be content having what it is that you want." Let me say it again. If you're not content with what you have, you won't be content having what it is you want. Because contentment is a choice we make. And it has nothing to do with our circumstances. Well, now, my dad spoke the truth to me, but as a little boy, I didn't believe him. Because I thought that if I had what it was that I wanted, certainly I would be satisfied, I would be content. Now, does that speak to some of you? Because we sometimes deceive ourselves into that same trap, thinking that if we had what it was that we wanted, we would certainly be satisfied. I didn't believe it. So I saved up my money. And I was going to buy that knife for myself. And I took this knife, I put it in the drawer next to my bed, and I went and I purchased that knife. Can you see it? It's shiny in the light, isn't it? And it's got one. It's got two. It's got three blades on it. Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And you're probably thinking, boy, if I had that knife, I'd be satisfied too. I got this knife. I carried it in my pocket. And I could feel it as I would go through my day. And it was a reminder that I had what it was that I wanted. But you know, one day, I was back in that same hardware store, walking by that same display case with the lights shining down, and I saw another knife, and I wanted it. I wanted it because I didn't have it. And this knife, as cool as it is, it wound up in the drawer next to my bed. And I saved up my money. And I went and I bought this knife. Now, this was a knife. It's got a belt loop on it. You wear it on your belt, all right? It's not a pocket knife, because nobody can see the knife if it's in your pocket. But when you're wearing it on your belt, they know you got a knife, because this was before the days of cell phones. Now, I want you to listen to this, because this is not just an ordinary knife. This is a lock blade. Now, listen, you can hear it click. Did you hear it? See, that locks it open, all right? And so it's not going to close on your fingers. Now, none of these knives have never closed on my fingers, but this is a lock blade, all right? And I could close it, and then I could click it open again, all right? And I'd keep it shiny, I'd keep it sharp, and I would wear it on my belt so that everybody would know that I had a knife. But you know, as I grew a little older, my dad's words proved to be true for me. For my dad had told me if I wasn't content with the knife I had, I wouldn't be content with the knife that I wanted. And it wasn't long before this knife also found its place in the drawer next to my bed. Because I had gone back to that hardware store and I found another knife. Now, I don't know if you realize what you're looking at here, but this is a knife, all right? Now, this is a Schrade Uncle Henry, all right? Listen to this click. Ah, all right, now we're talking about a knife. I took this knife to Fort Wilderness with me. This knife lasted a long, long time. I used to take the canoe trips down the Wisconsin River here with Fort, and you can see how this sheath has been worn. All right, on the side here, that's worn from the gunnels on the canoe as we would take trip after trip after trip. Now, this particular knife is very dear to me because I have scars from this knife. I have several scars always on my left hand because my knife was in my right hand. I wounded my helper hand. And I carried this knife for the longest time. But I tell you, as it got worn, it was It was a little embarrassing to wear this to church on a Sunday morning. You know, you get all dressed up in a suit and tie, and then you've got this old knife. So, I found another knife. Look at this sheath, all right? Hand-tooled, all right? And ivory on there, all right? It even has a place where I can engrave my name. I never did it, but I got a place where I could do it. Now, this knife is an exact copy, except for the handle. It's also a Schrade Uncle Henry, all right? And so now I had a knife for the river, and I had a knife for Sunday morning. Now, you would think, wouldn't you? You would think that a fella had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 knives, you would think that a fella who had all of those things would certainly not want more. But the truth of the matter is, the more we have, the more we want. Because contentment is really a choice we make. And my dad was right when he said, Larry, if you're not content with what you have, you won't be content having what you want. Because if we have what we want, we simply want more. So these knives, they wound up in the drawer next to my closet, or next to my bed, and I discovered Swiss Army knives. Now, you know Swiss Army knives. It's got a corkscrew on it. Never used it. But if I needed it, I would have it. Multiple blades on here, including screwdrivers, all of those things that you could ever want in a knife. But I did discover that there was something better than a Swiss Army knife. Can you imagine what that would be? No, it'd be 2 Swiss Army knives. My son, Scott, he gave me this one time. This is a cool knife. This has got an aluminum. It's made out of aluminum. It's very light. It's got all of these blades. I can punch holes in my belt with this punch, all right? And after this weekend, I'm going to have to punch some holes in my belt. But there was something better than 2 Swiss Army knives. That would be exactly right. 3 Swiss Army knives, all right? Now, this particular Swiss Army knife, this is nice because it's got a pair of scissors. And by the way, these scissors are really quite nice scissors, all right? And it has blade on it, it has a file on it, and it's got tweezers, all right? Nice. And it's got a toothpick on there. You know, you just pull it out, pick your teeth, put it back in there. And you've got it with you all the time. Now, you would think that a fellow that had 3 Swiss Army knives would be content, right? No. But there's something better than 3 Swiss Army knives. That would be 4 of them. And you see that this one, they come in different colors. Do you know how many colors they come in now? They come in 2 dozen different colors. But I was not led into that trap, because color didn't make all that much difference to me. As a matter of fact, I found there was something even better than Swiss Army knives. Because I discovered that there were, are you ready for this? There were Christian knives. Yeah, there were Christian knives. The Buck Knife Company. Buck Knife Company is a Christian company. It says so. It says so. Because if you open this up, oh, and here's the knife. All right. Really cool. And if you look inside the box, there is instructions on how to care for your knife. And then it says on the back here that God is the chairman of our board. And we do everything to protect his holy name. Says so right here. And then it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who would ever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. And it invites you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Man, I needed a Christian knife. But do you have any idea how many knives the Christian Buck Company produces? Well, this one went back in the box, and it went into the nightstand along with all of the rest of them, and I began to collect Buck knives. This one here, one of my favorites, Pathfinder, all right? This knife probably could have done anything I've ever done with a knife in my whole life. But I needed another one because there was another model, same type of case, but this one is a Buck Skinner. Can you see the difference in the shape of the blade? All right, you use one for one purpose, you use one for the other purpose. I don't know what they are, but I've got them both. And then, I got this Buck knife. Wait till you see it. It's got a Cocobala handle on it. Is that shiny or what? Now, this knife I've never used. This one is just too perfect to ever use. But I have it. I have it because I wanted it. And I wanted it because I didn't have it. But having it doesn't make you content. Having it simply wants you, causes you to want more. And so, it wound up in my drawer because, wait till you see this one. This is a Buck knife, and it is an assisted opening. Do you see that? One finger, it locks. You unlock it, closes. I'll do it again for you. One finger. Do you see that? You can wear it on your belt so everybody knows that you've got it. I got that one. And then I got these for my backpack. Okay. This is a skeleton knife. You see that? All right. Anybody getting bored here this morning? Okay. You're not into knives, are you? But this skeleton knife comes in different sizes. Check this one out. Same knife, just bigger. But it goes on and on because I actually got two Buck knives just alike. This particular one, and the one over here, this one is from the last run from their plant in California, and this is from the first run of their new plant in Idaho. And look at that, they go together, all right? Last and the last shall be first, the first shall be last, all right? And I've got them both. Now, you're laughing at me here, but I know that there are some who are here who are suffering from the same discontentment that I experienced. Let me just, a few words, all right? Embroidery floss. Shoes. Rifles. Legos! Now we're getting into it, all right? Legos. Because you understand that my dad was right when he said, if you're not content with what you have, you won't be content having what it is that you want. Because I went on and, oh, check this Buck knife out. Now, the problem with this is it's camouflage, and you could lose it in the woods, But the good news is that it's blaze orange camo, all right? So you can find it when you lose it in the woods, all right? And I've got one. Now, to make a long story short, I found this one. Now, this is one cool knife because it has a picture of a bear. A bear. Can you see it? Etched right there on, Brian, you see this one? Yeah, it's got a bear etched right on there. Now, that's significant because right after family camp last year, Brian Maxinowski, he took me hunting, bear hunting. And on Wednesday, a year ago, I shot my first bear. And Brian was there to enjoy it with me. This is a significant knife. But hey, take a look at this one. This has got finger grooves in the handle. Won't slip out of your hand. All right? This is one classy knife. Wouldn't you agree? And I had it, and it wound up in my drawer along with the rest of them because I found another knife. This is a custom-made knife, all right? It's made by Dunn, all right? I don't know his first name, but it's Dunn, and it's a really cool custom-made. This knife here set me back $400. I didn't, but I wanted it. Can anybody here tell me why I wanted it? Because I didn't have it. Oh, man. I got to a point where I was I rest my case. I got to the point where I think I'm overloaded, all right? And I decided that I would get just one more knife. Because when I saw this knife, I really had to have it. Now, this knife here is a Browning. It's a Browning Model 510 Big Game Hunter. All right? It has a saw on it. It has a teardrop blade for field dressing an animal, and then it has a sweep main blade. Look at the curve on that. This knife is to die for, all right? And so I figured this would be the death of my desire, and I thought having this one, I would finally be content. Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think? But my dad was right. If I wasn't content with what I had, I wasn't going to be content having what I wanted. Because I gave in, I found that there were novelty knives, like this one. All right? This has a replaceable blade in it. All right? And it comes in multiple colors. All right? And this one even locks open. All right? And I got those. And then I got this one. This is really cool. You press it down here, and then the blade swings open like that. Light, you put your finger right in here, and you can hold onto this. It's extremely light, and hey, I didn't have it. So I got that one. And then I saw this. I saw this in the store one time, and this picture. This picture is a picture of my dad and our dog, Junior. And I looked at this little boy here. It looked just like our son, Scott, who's here. And so I bought a whole bunch of them after I was never going to buy another knife because I had to have this one with the tin. Now, I called the photographer and to find out where he had taken this picture of my dad, and he said it was somewhere in Iowa, and my dad had never been to Iowa, and so I don't know however it happened, but this has got to be a picture of my dad. And wait till you see the knife that's inside. If I can get it open here. check this knife out, because the picture is right there on the handle of the knife. All right, so had to have that one. And then, oh, I was in Menards, and I found this one on sale. Bear Grylls? Yeah. All right. He's got his television show now, all right, and I've got his knife. This is his survival knife. And it was really a good price, all right? It was less than half price, and I had to have it. And then people started giving me knives, and I got this one. Isn't this cute? All right. This came out of, I believe it's Guatemala, and it's got a little blade here, and then it's got this really cute little knife. Twin knives. All right. I didn't buy this one. All right. They gave it to me. And this one here, they gave it to me. All right. And this is called the Iron Spike. All right. And it has its own sharpening stone right attached there. And then, oh, my son-in-law gave me this one. Featherweight. It's a Browning. You looked carefully. It's Browning. And it's a feather. It's so light. And, oh, man. Then there was this one. You got to see this one. All right. And it's got a finger hole in it as well. It's a cool knife. I got this one at a garage sale. All right. It was a nickel. Ah, you can't pass that up. Then I got this knife. Now, this is not just your ordinary knife, all right? This is my Ephesians 6:17 knife, all right? If you look up Ephesians 6:17, it talks about putting on the full armor of God, and it says to take up the sword of the Spirit, all right? All right? The sword of the Spirit, which is a two-edged sword, right? Two-edged, got one sharp sweeping blade, and then all this serrated, and it's really sharp, all right? So I needed a sword of the Spirit. And in order to deal with the time constraints we have, I left the other 180 knives at home. Because, you see, this became an obsession for me. I loved knives. But what does Scripture say? It says, love not the things of this world, because the things of this world cannot satisfy. For the more you have of the things of this world, the more you want. And if you're not content with what it is you have, you won't be content having what it is you want. Now, I'd done this lesson a number of years ago, and this lady came up to me afterwards, and she says to me, believe it or not, she says, are you telling me that if I'm not content with the man I married, I won't be content with the man I want? And I'm thinking, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Because contentment is a choice that we make. Now, Paul says that he had learned the secret of being content. I want to share that secret with you now. Because the secret is not found in having more. But the secret of contentment is having less. It is a matter of generosity. And when you and I choose to give away what it is we have, when we invest in others, when we are generous with our time, when we are generous with the things that we have been entrusted with, it's then and only then that we can find real contentment in our lives. So I've started giving away knives as the secret of contentment. Now, a gentleman back there just said, I'll take one. All right? I heard that. And I want you to know here this morning that I will not give him a knife. Because if he wants what I've got, just think what it can lead to. So, I give away the knife I'm carrying, the one that's mine, and I give it to someone who would be willing to receive it, not keeping it for themselves, but being willing to give it to somebody else. Because in that act of generosity, of receiving and then giving, you'll find contentment. Would you be willing to receive a knife?
Absolutely.
Would you be willing to give it away?
Absolutely.
Here you go.
Thank you.
And would you be willing to receive a knife?
I would.
Would you be willing to give it away? Because you see, we are simply stewards of what God gives us. And that is the real secret to contentment. See a man back here? Would you be willing to receive a knife? It'd give me great joy to give you that knife. And I would trust that it would give you great joy to give it to somebody else. Oh, man. And would you be willing to give it to somebody else? You see, that's what God has entrusted to us. And he gives us these knives, all right? Now, normally, if I'm doing something like this, I've got kids coming up to me saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. So you parents must be doing a good job teaching this secret of generosity that leads to contentment. I got to give this to somebody else back here. Oh, now you see the hands coming up? All right, I spoke too soon. Would you be willing to give it to somebody?
Yes, sir.
There you go. I trust it to you. And it gives me great joy to be able to give away these things. For it's not what I collect for myself. It's not what I keep for myself. It's not what I gain that brings satisfaction. It's not what I accumulate that brings contentment. Friends, it's generosity. Understanding that we are but stewards of the wealth that he has given us. And it gives us great joy to be able to share that with others. And along with that joy comes contentment with what we have. Lord, I ask you to take these words this morning. I ask your Holy Spirit to apply it right where we are, that we might learn the secret of contentment. And that we might say with Paul, I've learned to be content with much or with little, because I know the secret. For contentment is really a choice that we make to be satisfied with what you have provided. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.